Well, first of all, I just wanted to say how pleased I am to be here and to reinforce the sense of excitement that many of us still have about this experience. And for that, we're extremely grateful to Shirk, but we're also grateful to Fies and to Margie for making this evening session possible. I was cognizant that this might be an international audience, and our cura was focused on the four Atlantic provinces of Atlantic Canada, and I have to figure out what button to push here. Ah, voila. You can see we have New Brunswick, Nova Scotia, Prince Edward Island, and Newfoundland were the focus of our work, and it was an area where people were not familiar with the concept of social economy at all. Although many of the researchers had been involved with one another in not so much the academics, but working with community partners. It's just some thanks. Just by way of context, because these networks developed in a particular context and framework, and of course you've heard already about it being funded by Shirk, without which none of this would have been possible. I also want to give some very strong positive credit to Éric Bastien and more recently Éric Bergeron, who were the project officers who were extremely important in relating to us. The second point is that CSERN, as we call ourselves, was an intentional creation, and it was time-limited, and Margie's already spoken of some of the aspects of that add a particular type of context. We were forging a community of practice, covering a large geographic distance, highly diverse membership. Some had access to high-speed internet, some didn't, and so on. We also had made a deliberate commitment to focusing on the grassroots, although we certainly did deal with federations and so on along the way over the years, but our primary partners were very much at the grassroots. And then we had this wonderful list of interested parties who contributed significantly. We were influenced by the particular qualities of the social economy. So this isn't just any partnership with any groups, right? These were social economy organizations we were working with. And that's an arena of activity where people are very concerned about values, and in particular, values around participation, inclusion, solidarity, autonomy, and citizenship. Now, I'm going throughout this to be reading some quotes from some evaluations, self-evaluations that were done. Much of what I'm going to quote to you was part of a report by a community partner who did a sort of self-evaluation of our network. One community partner said, "My experience with this work is that it's quite inclusive and respectful. Not only does this approach work, it is a necessary approach when dealing with community groups, i.e. don't get too self-satisfied that you managed to do some of this. This was expected." The other thing is that this is an iterative process for collaboration, especially if you want to sustain it and keep the momentum going. So there's the planning, there's the behavior, there's the outcomes. But along the way, there's ongoing self-assessment. It's important to stay flexible, responsive, willing to change, and be innovative where possible. And one of the significant qualities for us was that our success in getting the research and dissemination done was integrally linked with following appropriate processes, and that's a whole story in itself, maintaining respectful relations, which was a comment we heard a lot, and mutual learning. And we, for one thing, were not allowed to use the distinctions that are in our report forms to Shirk of non-academic and academic. If you want to talk about that, we can. This shows the governance model. There should be linkages between all those subnotes, but our research clusters are subnotes. The unit of analysis was the collaborative project, and we had very specific guidelines that we worked out together around collaboration that involved a commitment to participatory action research. So the governance of the individual projects and of the node were overlaid on a particular kind of methodology around participatory action. And again, there's some interesting stories to be told there. I want to emphasize the importance of that central body, the steering committee. I worked with three co-directors, one other academic, and two from the community. But the only person full-time was our coordinator. And that person was absolutely vital. And as the years went on, we discovered needed a lot more support than we had initially understood as communications central. And I can tell you later about where these clusters were located if you want, but they were all over the region in different bodies, including one run out of a community organization. One partner said we made a conscious decision right off the top not to rush things. We took the better part of a year to build the partnership, and we decided to trust one another and to just share the money up front and put it in the hands of local committee subnodes who then did what they needed to do. And I think these two decisions made this project a success. I have to say some found it frustrating, the time it took, the MOUs, the dialogue, and so on. But some of those very same people, if you look over the course of the evaluations, I don't know the individual's names or anything, but they would say, I've changed my mind about that. You know, it was important, we did it. But we did decentralize within a common framework, lest you think that we just liberally sprinkled money here and there. I always think about Charles Perrault's idea that you set up a framework that within which you make decisions, right? So that it's very important, the context. A community partner, personally, I think that the main partnership building success was that there was attention paid to the meaningful participation of all partners from the beginning. Engagement wasn't just lip service. And these aren't the same people I'm quoting. Everyone's a different person. I picked three challenges. and I guess I like to say that, you know, the devil is in the details, because I could have listed more. But, you know, we were building and trying to sustain a community of practice and a negotiated equality. So bridging, bonding, allocation of resources, communication were huge issues. We were Francophones, Anglophones, we were Mi'kmaq, and we were immigrant groups, and a wide variety of different people. And one of our Francophone people, I think, said it really well. Nous utilisons les mêmes mots, mais nous n'avons pas les mêmes interprétations et définitions. De ces mêmes mots. He didn't say the mon Dieu part. So the idea is that, you know, we think we're communicating, we're using the same words, but we have to be careful. Workload for the community partners was a huge issue. Workflow for the academics, you know, the academic season, that sort of thing. The balancing of the various priorities. How much time do you spend on our commitments around bridging and bonding and capacity building and process and our commitments to producing an array of outputs? Accountability and record keeping was a challenge. Internal and external accountabilities, multiple criteria according to which we were being judged. A community partner commented, I've been really interested in the different priorities between community and academics, and goes on to say this is the academic partner. The key is how you then conduct the whole thing, the pressures you have, because there's a responsibility and accountability to deliver something they can show back in their communities that they've used their time wisely. I can't emphasize too much the importance of taking the time to have face-to-face. And we heard that over and over and over again, which was really hard with the distances. And I guess I really can't talk too much about legacy. There are lots of products, many of which are available on the social economy digital archives that we have, and I'll put that up on the screen in a little while. The professional and political and social networks, policy development. Some of you are going to be going to the Social Enterprise Conference, the national conference in Halifax in November. And one of the partners in that is the Atlantic Council for Community and Social Enterprise, which is in part a result of our network. And we've spun off some curas that our groups have agreed to, that they've continued to participate on. Maybe I'll have to end with this. It truly did give us a window into what goes on in the with the social economy community. People talked about beginning to use the language, finding that it was a bridging concept that allowed them to relate to others. It allowed us access to and to share information with a whole breadth of people who were doing work in the sectors that apply to us. It created a whole new network who can provide us with information and opportunities that we didn't have before. And I just had some questions for you to think about what Secura, why do this, why partner, right? There's some wonderful reasons. And then to conclude, four qualities, partnership appropriate to the objectives. Some of our partners chose different ways of partnering. Engaged collaborative scholarship, the participatory action research, reflection, self-evaluation, and of course, un peu de chutzpah, or audacity along the way. Thank you very much.